So I'm just going to teach a little Sunday school lesson on godly Gentiles that we see through the Old Testament. I enjoy this study, and I've talked to a few people here about it. So some of you guys have heard this already, but I'd like to pray, and then I'll dig into this. Our Father, we thank you for your goodness to us. Thank you for this morning that we can be here. Thank you for your word that we can open. And I just pray you would help me as I endeavor to do so. Help me to be accurate in these stories that I tell. And Lord, just pray that we would be edified and encouraged by them. Amen. So, of course, through the Old Testament, the Jews were God's people. But I find it a really interesting study to look at how many times God used someone who was not a Jew. When we come to the New Testament, we find God poured out the Holy Spirit on Cornelius and on Cornelius' family. And Peter was amazed and said, "Of a truth, I perceive that God is no respecter of persons." Acts 10:34. Peter, in spite of all his godliness, was surprised when God blessed the Gentile people. And Peter was not the only one who felt this way. Until Paul, this kind of thinking seemed to be quite prevalent. And the most amazing thing about this is that the testimony of Scripture through the whole Old Testament was so contrary to that. It's not like they got that thinking from the Old Testament in any way. Even Solomon seemed to understand this better than Peter. When Solomon prayed at the dedication of the temple, he said, 2 Chronicles 6:32, "Moreover, concerning the stranger which is not of thy people Israel, but is come from a far country for thy great name's sake and thy mighty hand and thy stretched out arm, if they come and pray in this house, then hear thou from heaven even from thy dwelling place and do according to all that the stranger calleth to thee for, that all people of the earth may know thy name and fear thee, as doth thy people Israel. And may know that this house which I have built is called by thy name." So the first that I want to look at is really well known, just the genealogy of Christ. We have Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and Judah. And Judah bare Phares of Tamar, who was a Canaanite woman. And we don't know enough about her. I don't know how godly she was. If you read the story, it doesn't really seem like Judah was very godly either. But anyway, then you have Phares, Hezron, Ram, Amminadab, Nahashon, Salmon. And Salmon married Rahab. I just want to read the statement of faith that Rahab makes to the spies in Joshua 2:9-14. "And she said unto the men, I know that the Lord hath given you the land, and that your terror is fallen upon us, and that all the inhabitants of the land faint because of you. For we have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea for you when ye came out of Egypt, and what ye did unto the two kings of the Amorites that were on the other side Jordan, Sihon and Og, whom ye utterly destroyed. And as soon as we had heard these things, our hearts did melt, neither did there remain any more courage in any man because of you. For the Lord your God, he is God in heaven above and in earth beneath. Now therefore, I pray you, swear unto me by the Lord, since I have showed you kindness, that you will show kindness unto my father's house and give me a true token. and that you will save alive my father and my mother and my brethren and my sisters and all that they have, and deliver our lives from death. And the man answered her, our life for yours, if ye utter not our business. And then Solomon and Rahab begat Boaz. I'm sure we all know Boaz, the name Boaz even more. And Boaz and Ruth. And I just want to read this statement of faith of Ruth that Ruth made to Naomi in Ruth chapter 1, 12 through 17. Naomi says, turn again, my daughters. Go your way, for I am too old to have an husband. If I should say I have hope, if I should have an husband also tonight and should also bear sons, would ye tarry for them till they were grown? Would ye stay for them from having husbands? Nay, my daughters, for it grieveth me much for your sakes that the hand of the Lord has gone out against me. And they lifted up their voice and wept again. And Orpah kissed her mother-in-law, but Ruth clave unto her. And she said, behold, thy sister-in-law is gone back unto her people and unto her gods. Return thou after thy sister-in-law. And Ruth said, entreat me not to leave thee, or to return from following after thee. For whither thou goest, I will go, and where thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people, and thy God my God. Where thou diest, will I die, and there will I be buried. The Lord do so to me, and more also, if aught but death part thee from me. And of course, this genealogy is the very last thing we see in the book of Ruth. The book of Ruth is really a story of where God gets his king, and David is the last word in the book of Ruth. So, of course, the genealogy of Christ, and starting here, the genealogy of David, is an interesting thing with these three women who were not Jews. So now, total another story. We have the Ark of God. You have Eli and his two wicked sons, Hophni and Phinehas. Israel is fighting a battle against the Philistines, and they haven't been doing very well, and so they get this idea, hey, let's bring the Ark of God down to battle with us. And so Hophni and Phinehas take the Ark of God and they bring it down, and the whole camp of Israel shouts with a great shout. So the earth rang, and the Philistines are asking, what is this great shout? And so they finally figure out that the Ark of God has come down, and the Philistines say, quit you like men. We've not heard of this before. Like, these be the gods that did all these great things. So they come together to fight, and once again Israel is put to the worse. Hophni and Phinehas are slain according to the prophecy of Samuel, and the Ark of God is taken. And this is when the messenger comes back to Israel. And Eli was sitting on a post, trembling for the Ark of God. When the messenger comes back and tells him the news, he falls backward and dies. And I can't remember if it was Hophni or Phinehas, but the wife of one of those two men was pregnant during this time. And when the news comes to her, she goes into labor. And she names her son Ichabod, meaning no glory, or the glory is departed. Ichabod, no glory. So the Ark of God is taken. And it goes down into the land of the Philistines, And this is where we have that amazing story of how everywhere the ark went, the people, the Philistines, were plagued. Until they finally realized, this isn't happen chance, this has got to be the ark of the God of Israel. And so they take a new cart and take two dairy cattle that have calves, hook it up to the cart, and the two dairy cattle that have never pulled a cart before leave their calves behind and take the ark back to Israel. And you might almost think that all these people died because the ark was in the possession of Philistines. But then, when the ark... I must have turned my page too soon. Yeah, I need this page yet. So the ark comes back to Israel. And then you remember, I forget what town it was, but all those men looked in it and were slain. So the ark was turned aside and stayed. I can't remember where it stayed for a good number of years. Then David tries moving it, and he also tries an ox and a cart. That's where Uzzah puts forth his hand and steadies the cart and is smitten. And so then we find, when Uzzah was killed, we read in 2 Samuel 6:9, "And David was afraid of the Lord that day and said, 'How shall the ark of the Lord come to me?' So David would not remove the ark of the Lord unto him into the city of David. But David carried it aside into the house of Obed-Edom the Gittite. And the ark of the Lord continued in the house of Obed-Edom the Gittite 3 months. And the Lord blessed Obed-Edom and all his house." Obed-Edom the Gittite. You might not have ever realized this before, but the Gittites were Philistines. And I just find that very remarkable. That when the ark of God was in the land of the Philistines, it plagued them. But when a Philistine left the land of the Philistines and is living in the land of Israel, the ark of God abides with him, and God blesses him for taking care of the ark. And we find a whole bunch more Philistines who are godly. A story where we see a whole bunch of them. 2 Samuel 15, in verse 13, a messenger comes to David and tells him that the hearts of the men of Israel are after Absalom. So David said unto his servants in verse 14 that were with him in Jerusalem, "Arise and let us flee, for we shall not escape from Absalom. Make speed to depart, lest he overtake us suddenly and bring evil upon us and smite the city with the edge of the sword." And the king's servant said unto the king, "Behold, thy servants are ready to do whatsoever my lord the king shall appoint." And the king went forth and all his household after him. And the king left 10 women, which were concubines, to keep the house. And the king went forth and all the people after him and tarried in a place that was far off. And all the servants passed on beside him. And all the Cherethites and the Pelethites and all the Gittites 600 men which came after him from Gath passed on before the king. So when David is leaving Jerusalem, because his own son is seeking his life to kill him, David's most faithful men flee Jerusalem with him. And we read here that in the men that were fleeing with him, the Cherethites, the Pelethites, and the Gittites, 600 men that came from Gath. Gath was the region where the city of Ziklag was. So when David is fleeing from Saul, and he lives in Ziklag, I can't remember, how long was he there? Anybody remember? Okay, well anyway. He lives in Ziklag for that period of time until Saul dies. And he goes from Ziklag to Hebron and reigns as king for 7 years over Hebron before he reigns over all of Israel. These were 600 men that followed him from Ziklag back to Israel. And they were among his most faithful. And then, verse 19, chapter 15 of 2 Samuel. Then said the king to Attai the Gittite, "Wherefore goest thou also with us? Return to thy place and abide with the king. For thou art a stranger and also an exile." So here, just to verify, Attai the Gittite, being in Israel, was a stranger and an exile from his people, the Philistines. David says, "Whereas thou camest but yesterday, should I this day make thee go up and down with us? Seeing I go whither I may, return thou, and take back thy brethren. Mercy and truth be with thee." And Attai answered the king and said, "As the Lord liveth," that's all caps, "as Jehovah liveth, and as my Lord the king liveth, surely in what place my Lord the king shall be, whether in death or life, even there also will thy servant be." This man, born a Philistine. And David said to Attai, "Go and pass over." And Attai the Gittite passed over, and all his men, and all the little ones that were with him. We find a couple chapters later, and David numbered the people that were with him and set captains of thousands and captains of hundreds over them. And David sent forth a third part of the people under the hand of Joab, and a third part under the hand of Abishai, the son of Zeruiah, Joab's brother, and a third part also under the hand of Attai the Gittite. So here, this Philistine, who became David's servant, was one of the three that David picked to be a general in his army. Then after David came back to Jerusalem, Absalom had been killed. A man named Sheba stood up, said, "What have we to do with David, your tents, O Israel?" And Sheba runs off to make himself king. And because that Joab, who had been David's general, had killed Absalom. David told Joab he could no longer be general. And it doesn't seem like it was very wise, but Amasa, who was also another nephew to David, had been Absalom's general. And then David says to Amasa, now you can be my general. And so when they come back to Jerusalem, and Sheba stands up and says, I'm king, David, the king, says to Amasa, assemble me all Judah within 3 days, and be thou here present. The 3 days come and go, and Amasa hasn't done it. So David said to Abishai, now shall Sheba, the son of Berkai, do us more harm than did Absalom. Take thou thy Lord's servants and pursue after him, lest he get him fenced cities and escape us. And you sense that instant response of Abishai, because then the very next verse just says, and there went after him Joab's men, and catch this, and the Cherethites and the Pelethites and all the mighty men. And they went out of Jerusalem to pursue after Sheba, the son of Bichri. We see in every circumstance, we even come to another one yet, where other Jews were not faithful, and the Cherethites and the Pelethites were. In 2 Samuel 20, verse 23, we read, now Joab was over all the host. Joab was David's general. And then we read, and Benaiah the son of Jehoiada was over the Cherethites and the Pelethites. So at first, because you actually read that a couple times, like, what does this mean? We have Joab was the general, and Benaiah the son of Jehoiada was over these guys. Who were these guys? But it really gets very clear when you read a couple chapters later in 2 Samuel 22 and 23, we're reading about Benaiah and the mighty men. These things did Benaiah the son of Jehoiada, and had the name among three mighty men. He was more honorable than the 30, but he attained not to the first three. And David set him over his guard. So the Cherethites and the Pelethites were David's guard. David chose for his closest men, his closest guard, his bodyguard, were Philistines. Because these converted Philistines he found to be among the most faithful men he had available. And then we find when David was old, in 1 Kings 1:5, that Adonijah, the son of Haggith, exalted himself, saying, I will be king. And Adonijah was the full brother of Absalom. This was Absalom's younger brother. And he prepared him chariots and horsemen and 50 men to run before him. Exactly the same thing Absalom did. And his father had not displeased him at any time, saying, why hast thou done so? And he also was a very goodly man. And his mother bare him after Absalom. And he conferred with Joab, the son of Zeruiah, and with Abiathar the priest. And they, following Adonijah, helped him. But Zadok the priest, and Benaiah the son of Jehoiada, and Nathan the prophet, and Shimei, and Rei, and the mighty men which belonged to David were not with Adonijah. And Adonijah slew sheep and oxen and fat cattle by the stone of Zoheleth, which is by Engol, and called all his brethren, the king's sons, and all the men of Judah, and the king's servants. But Nathan the prophet, and Benaiah, and the mighty men, and Solomon his brother, he called not. So Nathan the prophet makes this plan of how to bring this news to David, because they're doing this without David knowing it. So Nathan the prophet has Bathsheba go in and tell the story, and then immediately after, Nathan goes in and tells the story. And then King David answered and said, "Call me Bathsheba." And she came into the king's presence and stood before the king. And the king sware and said, "As the Lord liveth that has redeemed my soul out of all distress, even as I swear unto thee by the Lord God of Israel, saying, assuredly Solomon thy son shall reign after me, and he shall sit upon my throne in my stead, even so will I certainly do this day." Then Bathsheba bowed with her face to the earth and did reverence to the king and said, "Let my lord King David live forever." And King David said, "Call me Zadok the priest, and Nathan the prophet, and Benaiah the son of Jehoiada," and they came before the king. The king also said unto them, "Take with you the servants of your lord, and cause Solomon, my son, to ride upon mine own mule, and bring him down to Gihon. And let Zadok the priest and Nathan the prophet anoint him their king over Israel. And blow ye with the trumpet, and say, God save King Solomon. Then ye shall come up after him, that he may come and sit upon my throne, for he shall be king in my stead, and I have appointed him to be ruler over Israel and over Judah." And Benaiah the son of Jehoiada answered the king and said, "Amen, the Lord God of my lord the king, say so too." Excuse me. "As the Lord hath been with my lord the king, even so be he with Solomon, and make his throne greater than the throne of my lord King David." Alright, so here it comes. So Zadok the priest, and Nathan the prophet, and Benaiah the son of Jehoiada, and the Cherethites and the Pelethites went down and caused Solomon to ride upon King David's mule and brought him to Gihon. And Zadok the priest took an horn of oil out of the tabernacle and anointed Solomon. And they blew the trumpet, and all the people said, "God save King Solomon." And all the people came up after him, and the people piped with pipes and rejoiced with great joy, so that the earth rent with the sound of them. So, one of the priests and Joab, one of David's faithful men in many ways, turned aside for Adonijah, though they did not turn aside for Absalom. But still, these few Philistines that followed him from Gath were faithful. Another place that we see men who were not Jews, see Gentiles, is in David's mighty men. Three of David's mighty men were not born Jews. We're all familiar with Uriah the Hittite. But there was also Benai the Gadite, which also would have been a Philistine, Gad. And there was also Zelek the Ammonite. So three of the 30. Well, actually there was 37, so we're at almost 1 in 10. Almost 1 in 10 of David's mighty men were not born Jews. I have one more story here that I want to cover. We find this one in the book of Jeremiah. Jeremiah is put in prison. And the princes come to King Zedekiah, saying they want Jeremiah dead. Then Zedekiah, this king, said, "Behold, he is in your hand, for the king is not he that can do anything against you." Then took they Jeremiah and cast him into the dungeon of Malchah, the son of Hamilek, that was in the court of the prison, and they let down Jeremiah with cords. And in the dungeon there was no water but mire. So Jeremiah sunk in the mire. Now Ebed-Melech the Ethiopian, one of the eunuchs which was in the king's house, heard that they had put Jeremiah in the dungeon. The king then sitting in the gate of Benjamin, Ebed-Melech went forth out of the king's house and spake to the king, saying, "My lord the king, these men have done evil in all that they have done to Jeremiah the prophet, whom they have cast into the dungeon, and he is like to die for hunger in the place where he is, for there is no more bread in the city." Then the king commanded Ebed-Melech the Ethiopian, saying, "Take from thence 30 men with thee, and take up Jeremiah the prophet out of the dungeon before he die." So Ebed-Melech took the men with him and went into the house of the king under the treasury, and took thence old cast clouts and old rotten rags, and let them down by cords into the dungeon to Jeremiah. And Ebed-Melech the Ethiopian said unto Jeremiah, "Put now these old cast clouts and rotten rags under thine armholes and under the cords." And Jeremiah did so. So they drew up Jeremiah with cords and took him up out of the dungeon, and Jeremiah remained in the court of the prison. Of all the Jews that knew that Jeremiah was thrown down there, it took an Ethiopian to step forward and say, "This isn't right." And then we read in the next chapter, "Now the word of the Lord came unto Jeremiah while he was shut up in the court of the prison, saying, Go and speak to Ebed-Melech the Ethiopian, saying, Thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, Behold, I will bring my word upon this city for evil and not for good, and they shall be accomplished in that day before thee. But I will deliver thee in that day, saith the Lord, and thou shalt not be given into the hand of the men of whom thou art afraid. For I will surely deliver thee, and thou shalt not fall by the sword, but thy life shall be for a prey unto thee, because thou hast put thy trust in me, saith the Lord." This story reminds me of what Jesus said. "Verily I say unto you, no prophet is accepted in his own country. But I tell you of a truth, many widows were in Israel in the days of Elias, when the heaven was shut up 3 years and 6 months, when great famine was throughout all the land. But unto none of them was Elias sent, save unto Sarepta, a city of Sidon, unto a woman that was a widow. And many lepers were in Israel in the time of Elisha the prophet, and none of them were cleansed, saving Naaman the Syrian." All right, let me close this prayer. Our Father, we just thank you for all these stories you have recorded for us in your word. We pray that you would take them to heart and that we would learn the lessons that you have here for us. Father, that we would be encouraged. I suppose especially they who weren't raised in Christian families would and could take courage by these things. Father, we just pray you'll be with us next hour. Be with us the rest of today. Help everything that is said and done to honor and glorify you. Amen. All right, let's dismiss.